Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. I am interviewing Clayton English, who you might know as the character of Grills on Marvel's Disney Plus series Hawkeye. He is also on MTV's Wild 'N Out, also won the season 9 finale of Last Comic Standing. Or you might know him from his roles on AP Bio, Netflix's Love, and Tyler Perry's House of Pain. So without further ado, let's get into this interview with Clayton English.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
So, after all the success of Hawkeye, how you feeling about being in that series, and you know, what opportunities are you looking forward to after doing the series?
Man, it's awesome. It's like literally a dream come true, because I'm a fan of everything Marvel, all the way back to comic books, like when I was before there was an MCU. And so I just remember how excited we were when we saw, you know, the Iron Man, and then, you know, lead into the Avengers, and for all this stuff to be happening, it's still tied together and it's still going strong, and it's
For sure,
it's getting, you know, even better. And yeah, and Hawkeye was great for me because it was a series that I read, and so I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna be pretty dope. I knew how people received the comic, and I was just hoping like they received it half as well as they did, you know, the show.
Yeah. I haven't read too many of the Hawkeye comics. The most recent one I read was Hawkeye and Deadpool, which I saw a lot of influence in the show, you know, taken from the comic book, which is really cool. Like even the opening sequence of the first episode was just like straight out of that comic book art. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, they did such a good job, and it wasn't the exact same story, but I think they got a lot of the points across and were able to blend it well. And yeah, and everybody I worked with was, I mean, awesome.
Now that actually leads to another question. What, if you had to choose, who is your favorite person on set to work with?
Oh man.
You trying to get me out of here. You know what? I'm going to say this one, cause I'll play it safe. Cause I love everybody that I worked with that was a human, but Jolt the dog was just fun every day. Like I got to do like, I fed her like little treats and got to get her to do tricks. The trainer was showing me things, and it was just like a great, you know, dog. And you, it seemed like the dog was happy to be there. Like the dog was eager to come to work. And so I'm gonna say Jolt, that way nobody could be mad at me that can actually speak.
That having a dog in there just makes everything better for sure.
And then, you know, the dog's little story, like they had the CGI the dog's eye.
I was actually wondering if because I knew the dog didn't have a missing eye like the actual dog on set, but I didn't know if they CGI'd it or used makeup or something like that. But yeah,
it was a CGI thing. Dog looked way worse on in the show. I was like, oh man, you're looking pretty rough, buddy. But yeah.
Right. That's fun. Let me see here. Now, actually, your character of Grills, do you know anything about the character of Grills in the comics?
Yeah, man. I know all about Grills. I know all about Grills and how he calls Hawkeye Hawk Guy. Yep. And I also know his fate. And the internet did too. I saw a lot of tweets like, I hope Grills doesn't wind up like he did in the comic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and just to refresh my memory, once I got the role, I was like, Grills, okay, I remember the character. And I went to like, you know, the Wikipedia or the Marvel, you know, database or whatever. And the one picture they had of Grills was him getting Yeah, Point Blank Range. And that was the picture they had for the character. And I was like, well.
Oh, man.
All right. I know what to
look for.
Luckily, it didn't go that way. So.
Yeah, luckily. Do you know if there's any talks about a second season coming out or anything like that? I feel like I've heard something, but I'm not 100% sure.
And I mean, but of course, I'm grateful to be a part of it. And if they would like to do more, I would love to do more because it's one of the dopest experiences I've had so far.
Right. And you probably wouldn't even be able to say if there was a second season, you probably wouldn't be able to say if you're coming back or not.
Oh, no, I could. I just wait for the announcements and see what they say. But really, like, it's tight over there. Like, I didn't know what I was auditioning for. I just knew it was a Marvel project. Like, that's how tight they are about it. The sides were even changed. That's crazy. Like, characters' names. Like, like, I don't think I ever got a whole... I never saw the whole script for, like, the whole series.
Oh, yeah. Like, that actually answers quite a few of my questions there, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm always curious about the process that Marvel has when it comes to these TV shows and to their movies. I've heard a lot of stuff about them and just knowing how secretive they are, especially with certain actors like Tom Holland. At a certain time, you could not tell him anything. Same for like Mark Ruffalo and all that. But got to keep it very hush-hush around certain people for sure.
I mean, you know, you got to make sure, you know, people, the extras don't see stuff because that's how, you know, stuff can leak a lot of times. So, you know, a lot of times you got to cover up this character because they got on this costume. So anything, they're really on top of anything that might be a spoiler. And I'm actually grateful that they do that because, you know, those moments, I think, have such a bigger impact when you didn't know it was coming or you didn't know a rumor of it was coming. Like, just, yeah, that confirmation is always cool.
Now, last question about Hawkeye, because you have a lot of other stuff in your career that I want to talk about. And I'm sure you are maybe not sick of talking about Hawkeye, but, you know, you talk about it a lot at this point. Yeah. But one question here, if your character could team up with any other Marvel character, who would you want Grylls to team up with?
Man, any other Marvel character? Probably gonna have to say right now. It's gotta be either Spider-Man or Captain America. And, you know, those two would I'd be like, okay, cool. Like, yeah.
I was somewhat hoping for Spider-Man to show up in the finale because I don't know if you've seen Spider-Man No Way Home yet.
I just saw it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if we can talk about it. I don't want to mess it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
Let's just say there's some Easter eggs that pop up in Hawkeye and in Spider-Man No Way Home. And there definitely could have been a crossover. But at the same time, I completely understand why they didn't, because that would totally steal the show's thunder if we brought in Spider-Man for the finale. But that being said, a certain character that we saw in the Hawkeye finale, I really want to see in a Spider-Man movie. So, yeah.
I think I can say this, right? I mean,
probably.
In Spider-Man No Way Home, you saw shots that you would have seen from Hawkeye. Like, he goes past certain billboards, he goes past a certain ice skating rink. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, it really, I made that connection just watching it, because, you know, I was like, oh, okay, so like he is there. Like, so he technically he might have been there. He just had his own issues.
I think I watched the movie first before I watched that last episode. So I was waiting in there. I was like, oh, man, there's the Christmas tree. And I was like looking in the sky and stuff. I'm like, he could pop up. But both projects are really amazing. And the fact that you have, man, okay, spoiler alert to anybody who hasn't seen No Way Home. But you have Daredevil showing up in Spider-Man. And then you have Kingpin showing up in Hawkeye. And Love Daredevil, and I also really love Kingpin. I don't know if you played the Spider-Man PS4 game, but he is an amazing character in that. It's one of my favorite games.
Yep.
Actually, I have posters of him. Posters of him right behind me.
That's what's up. Yeah, yep. I remember that because you have to fight him in that building, right? Yep. Like, that's one of your first fights.
I'm a huge Spider-Man nerd for sure. But
yeah, same here, man.
Yep. Going on to your like comedy career and stuff, I know you've worked on Wild and Out and stuff like that, which I'm addicted to MTV. Personally, Ridiculousness is like my go-to. I binge watch that, yeah. But Wild and Out is a really fun show too. Now on IMDb, it says you're an executive producer on that. Is that correct?
No.
I don't know. IMDb gets stuff wrong all the time.
But, if they gave me the title, they didn't give me
right.
But no, I didn't. I definitely felt like no producer. I would have acted different. No, right. I'm just kidding. But nah. Yeah. IMDb, sometimes I'd be like, maybe. Yeah, it's other projects I've been an executive producer on, but I'm wilding out.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it like on that show? Because I don't watch it a whole lot, I'll be honest, but I've definitely seen quite a few episodes. What is the show kind of about? Like, what? Because I know there's like rap battles and stuff like that, which I always love watching. But like,
it's basically an improv comedy show, and it just goes fast. And I mean, I got to shout out Nick Cannon because he constantly putting people on TV and giving people opportunities to kind of elevate themselves and their brand. And just like the episode, like we're not
off script.
It's not really a script. Like, we try to help, like, I also was like, I do some writing too. So I would help sometimes for the guests. The guests might need stuff punched up. Whereas the people that have kind of been there for a while, figure out what they're going to do. We know what games we're playing and we just figure out what we're going to do in the moment. And, yeah, it's fast paced, man, because we'll shoot two to three episodes a day and we got to move. And like all the jokes that everybody gets aren't going to make it. So it's like pretty much every game, it's, you're going to get 3 to 4 jokes that make the cut, and it's always, funniest win. So it's great to be in that kind of environment because it's friendly competition.
Yeah. No shade towards MTV, though, but they really need to chill out with the commercials because Ridiculousness goes to break so many times. I feel like that's what's up with like every show on MTV. It's just like, all right, 2 segments, let's go to break. Like that's what sucks about being on a network show, but at the same time, it's still fun and it's MTV. MTV is awesome. So
they gotta pay the bills, so
for sure. Let me see here. I got my notes on my phone. So you were on Last Comic Standing. Is this a show that's still going on, or have they wrapped that up?
Yeah, they wrapped it up. The season I was on was the last season. I won.
Gotcha.
I believe was the number.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was 2015. And that was like the last, that's the last time they had the show. So I guess you could say I broke the show.
was that Comedy Central?
No, it was on NBC at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I think that was a little bit before my time as like watching stand-up and stuff like that. Cause I got into stand-up kind of around that time, but, the kind of stuff I watched on TV was like SpongeBob and stuff. So nothing groundbreaking.
But essentially, got a couple of Emmys, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Kids' Choice Awards too, the highest honor. But Last Comic Standing. It's essentially American Idol, but for stand-ups, right? Is that a fair analogy?
That's an accurate comparison.
And you won the season 9 finale, which how did that feel winning that?
It was amazing. I wasn't sure that, I didn't know how to do comedy for judges, because that's the thing. You got judges judging you, but I knew how to do comedy for an audience. And I knew that there were going to be audiences there. So I was like, if just put me in front of an audience and I'm confident in my ability to do what I've been doing the last, you know, however long I've been doing comedy at the time, which I think was like probably like 10 years or something like that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and you just go out there. And then I also started seeing like some people really didn't want to win. I remember seeing that and I was like, oh, okay. Like some people were like, you know, I'm booked. I've got comedy clubs. I'm booked up till next year. When this is done, I can't wait to get back on the road. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not on the road. I'm like, right. So you know what I'm saying? Like my whole goal was to just try to crack the top 10 because I knew if I was in the top 10, that should make a little noise. I should be able to at least start getting into some of these clubs, at least start pursuing an agent or something like that. And just once I got there, I just kept going. And I learned some things along the way. I didn't realize what I was learning, but I just realized, you know, you have to continually beat yourself. Like you got to top whatever you did. Either the next thing you do needs to be equal to or better than the last thing you did. And you just have to, you know, show consistency with what you talk about. Yeah.
Gotcha. Stand-up's always been, maybe not always, but ever since I was like 15, 16, it's something I really found passion for. It's nothing I've ever gone on stage to do, which I would like to try, but just bad timing. Because I was like, come 2020, I was like, all right, I'm ready to get on stage. Oh, no, that's not good. And then places near me where I could go ended up closing and stuff like that. So just bad timing. But when I was like 16... When I was like 16, I would like fall asleep listening to stand up. I would like memorize it. Today, love watching anything on Netflix. And I definitely have the people that got me interested in stand up. So my question for you is, who are some comedians that initially got you interested in doing stand up?
And when you were saying, you know, just watching stuff as a kid, like my parents were letting me watch HBO specials like early. Like I definitely probably didn't need to be watching some of these people at like five or six.
Right.
The ones that I remember seeing first was George Carlin and Robin Harris. Robin Harris and George Carlin were the first two that I saw where I was like, yo, this is like, they're just talking and they're holding these people's attention and they're being funny for, you know, upwards of an hour. And I'm looking at like the adults in my life and I'm like, they haven't said anything funny all week. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't they be like this? So it always fascinated me. And I think from there, it goes Robin Harris, George Carlin,
Dave Chappelle,
Patrice O'Neill, and then
Richard Pryor.
Like those were the ones that I like necessarily for me at the time, you know, Dave was
kind of
speaking from a place that I was closer to in age. Like he had like a little bit younger mindset than what I was used to seeing with comedians. Cause you know, for a while comedians was you wear a suit, you got a tie on. You know what I'm saying? And you hold a mic, like, you know what I mean? So, and then, yeah, I just, you know, observe and learn from all those people. And I think Richard Pryor probably the best just.
Oh, yeah.
Storyteller
or will paint a picture or make something relevant and take you on a very far journey. Like he can go so far from where he started and still come back. And it's always.
Yeah. He's definitely one of the greatest. Did you ever see, it was like Steve Harvey hosting something. It was Richard Pryor's son that came on stage to do stand-up.
That was Apollo. That was Apollo. Yeah.
That was a train wreck.
and they booed him.
Yeah.
But I think, didn't Steve bring him back or something?
Yeah.
I mean, That's some big shoes to fill.
And it's probably
Just hard to work out being in the shadow of one of the greatest comedians ever, you know? Like
oh yeah.
From the first time you go on stage, that pressure is gonna be put upon you.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially in the Apollo of all places.
Hey, I mean, yeah, like
that's crazy. I kind of wanted to ask you about some of your roles in like TV and stuff. I know you were on the show Love on Netflix. Yep. Very good show. I never got to finishing it, but I watched it like years ago and I was really loving it. No pun intended, but I never quite finished it. I really need to now. But what was your experience like on that show and working with Judd Apatow? Because he is something else, honestly.
Awesome, man. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they had me in there. Just watching his process with stuff, like, you know, he trusts who he works with. Like, mm-hmm. the vibe was kind of like, you know, ad lib. You know, y'all can, you know,
yeah,
fire, you know, let us figure out what we can have fun with and how we can make it work. So, yeah, he's awesome, man.
That's a great show, too.
Yeah. It's a great show. And everybody on it, like, if you go back and watch it, you'll see so many comedians and stuff that's still like, it was heavy on funny first, and so I love that. Anytime I could be a part of that,
for sure. And then you were on an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, correct? Okay, I was trying to track down which episode you were in, but IMDb is terrible for that kind of information most of the time.
So number or name.
Gotcha.
But it was the episode where Lieutenant was trying to sneak into a jail.
Uh-huh.
And I was the security guard at the door.
So okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I think I saw it was like season 7, possibly like one of the first few episodes. So I need to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
But I just finished that series.
My scenes were with Andre Brauner. And
yeah,
he's awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I just recently finished that show. It's one of my favorites now. It's so great. Really funny show.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, and to be a part of these like shows that I like, I would kind of look at anyway.
Like, oh yeah, for sure.
Even if I wasn't on it, I'd watch it.
Right.
So yeah, I'm always happy to be on something that like, yeah.
Yeah. And then AP Bio as well, which is another show I really need to get to watching because I've heard such great things about it. And the lead actor in there, he's from Dennis from Always Sunny. So I definitely need to get over to watching that.
Yeah, it's a great show, man. It was fun. I did an episode and I also worked in the writer's room. And, you know, the people that, you know, ran the writer's room were awesome, man. Mike O'Brien is the show creator. And then, you know, just so many great people that I worked with, and to see the process for how they come up with the stuff, I think is like the best. And just based off of horror stories I've heard from other people, like I probably had like the best boss you might be able to have in a writer's room.
Yeah.
You know, I had one of the best experiences. Like I compare it to other people and I'm like, dang, that's what you went through. Like,
right.
Yeah. They let me talk. Like,
I definitely need to watch that. Do you know what streaming service that would be on?
You got to get Peacock.
Okay.
And I think even if you have the trial version of Peacock, the whole first season is free. Like,
okay. Nice.
Yeah. So
I definitely got to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. My English teacher in high school was always talking about how much he liked it. And I was like, I need to watch that one.
But that's funny. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Because Mike, you know, he always says he based it off a teacher of his. He based it off a teacher he had in high school. Nice. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. He was a really great teacher, too. Don't know what he's doing now, but I actually had him on the podcast, like, back when I first started. But he's really cool. He's trying to write his own show and everything, so definitely into it. But circling back to Hawkeye, I just kind of wanted to talk about, like, you know, or actually forgot to mention last comic standing, what opportunities did you see like right after that? Like after winning that season, I'm sure it opened up a lot of opportunities. What are some that like you were surprised by at least?
Well, I don't know if I was surprised, but just, I mean, I was surprised that I won, but just getting, like I talked about, I just wanted to work on the road and work in some of these clubs. And man, I got that. I think we had a 76 shows in 90 days.
Oh, wow.
Like after we won, after the finale aired, and we're straight on the road, and it's, you know, every day a show that night, you know, wake up at 2 a.m, get on the bus, start going to the next city. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was, you know, I booked up, like, I think my agent asked me, like, how many weeks do you want to work out of the year? And I was like, how many weeks is it? Like, 54, let's go for all of them or whatever. But yeah, so that definitely picked up. And just being recognized a little bit more. And
I wound up moving to LA.
And I think, you know, it opened up some opportunities for me. It definitely didn't hurt. And the money helped too. So.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a little one freaking out outside. I will be right back. All right. So that was a really great episode. I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about Hawkeye. Yeah, it was really fun. Do you want to plug your social media or anything like that?
Everything.
Clayton English on everything. Yep. C-L-A-Y-T-O-N. English like the language. If you see me on something, don't change the channel. And if you saw me on something, go watch it again. Yeah, appreciate it. Oh, yeah, you can check out my album too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What's your album called?
I got a comedy album. It's called All the Same. Be sure to check it out. I also have a 30-minute comedy special on Epics. It's called Unprotected Sets. So, yeah, make sure you check it out. Yeah.
All right. That's perfect. I was actually just going to ask, what are some upcoming projects you have coming out? But that's perfect. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And, I'll see you next time.
Appreciate it. Take it easy.
For sure.